Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome along to the Wise Men Say podcast. Here we are at yet another chapter of what is the history, mad history of Sunderland AFC, and what has gone on in the last week or so, or 2 weeks, has just been absolutely mad. If you are looking for analysis from the game at the weekend, Sunderland's 2-1 defeat. No.
1-0 defeat.
1-0 defeat to Bristol City. Then go and listen to the reaction pod, because all of that analysis and reaction is there. There are other things I think people would rather we would be talking about this evening. And to be honest, I mean, the performance pretty much rinse and repeat of every away performance we've had over the last month or so. So go and check that out. That'll be on your feed. And we will get on with the other stuff. Right, where do we start? Where do we want to do the derby tickets, or do we want to do the manager? Shall I let people know who's here first? Jordan, myself, Stephen Goldsmith, as always, Gareth Barker.
Hello.
Evening.
Right.
And, yeah, got your ticket yet? Are you still on the fence?
I'm not going.
You're not going?
No.
Okay, right. We'll get on to that in more detail. Mickey Loves, all right, is with us as well.
All right, lads, evening. How you doing?
Good. You've got your ticket though, yeah?
Yeah, I got mine this morning for me sins and all that.
Okay. Should we start with that then? Rather than go off topic and come back to it. Okay, tell us more, Gareth. There's a reaction to the away fan allocation.
I just think the whole thing's a joke. So, I didn't stick it. But I mean, somebody will have my ticket. So, moving away fans, giving them hospitality seats in which that people have bought season tickets for at overinflated prices for a no service whatsoever. I mean, it's their personal choice if they wish to do that. But I believe you don't even get anything for going in the Black Cats bar now. So, I don't know how much extra you're having to pay for a padded seat, but there we are.
Covering up Sunderland memorabilia?
Yeah, well, I mean...
If
that's what actually does happen, we'll find out, because there'll be plenty of pictures of that. But if they do that, then that is disgusting. It's not their... It's not their home, it's ours. I think they'd do it for us. The allocation's a disgrace. Logistically, you know, it's not of my concern, because I'm sure there's some boffins out there who've decided that it's possible, but if you can explain to me where you're going to park 60, 70, 80, 90 buses to transport 6,000 Newcastle fans into the stadium, or lighting out again before the game and after the game, then, you know, fair play. I'm you know, reciprocal, the replay, well, we'll get 6,000 there. All right, then. How are we going to get 6,000 people there in a bubble on a replay on a Tuesday or Wednesday night?
In the centre of Newcastle.
In the centre of Newcastle. You're going to have to take, people are going to have to take afternoon off, aren't you? It's clear that the club have just done
I wouldn't be surprised if we drew this and they caused trouble. So then they said you can't have your 6,000 tickets anymore.
Look, the way it's gone, we've absolutely seen the dollar signs in whatever capacity we possibly could. Haven't thought about our own supporters, in my opinion, and we've just cooked. And I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if, there's been an incentive to give them what they want. I'm not, we're not idiots. You know how these things work. But I can't imagine the police for the first time in however long, when this is probably the worst relations have been between the two clubs and the supporters, the most distance has been in terms of league table probably ever when we played each other. That we've gone, I know what we'll do. We'll give them three times as much tickets as we normally would give them. I'm like, the police haven't gone, yeah, this is a good idea. It's no chance. So it's got to have been pushed by the clubs. I just think it's rank that the people who've been binned from their own seats are now having to wait for a second phase to see what they've got left that they can go and sit if they want to go and watch the game. I just think it's a joke, really. It should, I think we've just bent over backwards where we didn't need to. So they can, I'm not going to bother. I'll watch it on the telly.
Apparently, Northumbria Police weren't for this. This wasn't driven by them.
Well, of
They
course it
tried.
wouldn't have been.
They tried to talk the clubs out of it.
I
That's
mean,
what I
it's an
understand.
absolutely idiotic decision. Like, nobody's ever going to convince me otherwise. And I think the way it's been handled is absolutely abhorrent. And,
The choice was.
you know what it is. The goodwill, if there was any for me, I know a lot of people just like love whatever happens at the club because that's what you're supposed to do. Nah, not for me.
It's the lack of. I mean, we did a bit on the website, didn't we? We didn't put one name to it because a few of us sort of we gathered our collective thoughts, didn't we? And all contributed to that piece. So if you want to see what the main things are, and you haven't seen that, you just go to wisemanshere.co.uk, and there were full opinions on there. But we mentioned things like it's unprecedented, and previously Borough, for example, have requested more tickets not being granted. So why should this be deemed to be safe? But again, even since we put that piece out, it's come to the surface. Well, not even the surface, but I understand that the police actually said no, and they can have 2,500 tickets, and they can make their own way to the match and all this stuff.
If
And then
we're doing that, if that
Newcastle,
was the
and then
case, I'd be going.
it's been pushed by both clubs to say, well, now how can we make this work? And then that's when they've said, right, well, the bubble and the bubble travel suggestion, you can only get your ticket when you're actually on the bus, like this military operation thing, and that's the only way we'll even consider it. And it just going against police recommendation to make it happen, on top of the stuff about where the lads who sort the flags out, they've told them they can't put anti-Newcastle stuff on. It's almost like there's somebody on the inside. It's ridiculous. Where are the Sunderland fans on the board? Where's the fan
Well, Dave
consultation?
Jones is a Sunderland fan,
Well,
yeah.
what they're thinking? Where are they when we need them?
I'd be going if it was 2,500. I'm telling you now. You got what? A line of 60 coaches making their way to Sunderland from Newcastle. All you have to do is all only one has to fall foul of something, and that's it. It's a massive convoy. Unless you're going to close all the roads around Sunderland, so. I've got no idea how that's going to be managed. I honestly think I don't. I mean,
There's no.
again, it's not my role, but like, I mean, how are you going to facilitate it? It just seems impossible to me. Like the infrastructure. But the team bus for the opposition has to park down one of the side streets in Sheepfold. Where are they going to park 60 buses? Like, I honestly, I just think the whole thing is destined to be. And like it might go off and everything will be fine and it'll be like, oh, well, what was the problem? I'm telling you, like, there's a reason why it's never been done before.
And the thing is, it's like, did they not understand that? Like, and we could go and we could put in a defensive performance, and Newcastle aren't very good on the road this season, and that's encouraging as a Sunderland fan, and we could do a 1-0 win, and everything would be great. There's a small chance that'll happen, and it could. I think it's unlikely. Thinking about the worst case scenario here, with the, especially like with the Black Cats bar and everything, and the talk of even like decking out Newcastle colours and stuff like that. Like these images will be around forever.
I know.
Like this will be a marker in the club's history. Like, do they not
Well,
realise that? Do they not? These are the kind of things they could have asked fans about. Tested the temperature over this stuff. Like this, you can't erase this from the club's history. Whereas the worst case scenario happens, that we've just allowed this to happen. It's just, I mean, I will be gone because it's just,
I don't, I haven't got, I
I
mean, I'm not
just.
like saying people shouldn't go, just my personal
No,
feelings.
I know you're
I
not. I
just
know you're not
don't,
preaching about it,
I
but
don't feel like I want to go. I just don't feel like
I just
it's
feel like
not
all
what
we're
it
gonna do
should
is try
be.
and go and make it as intimidating as possible and try and not reflect the club's stance on things. That you've just used the phrase cook there, and it's like, well, so I just feel like the fans have got to rebel against that then and say, well, we're not gonna make it pleasant for you, just because a club are
Well, I think that'll happen
rolling a red
anyway.
carpet over. No,
Well, they
yeah, of
are.
course
It's
it will.
just, I
Yeah,
just, it
I know.
really, like the last week, on the back of those two results that we had, fantastic. And really, I would say the Leeds game was arguably the best game since at this level. Like some people I've spoken to said they didn't think the game was that good. I thought it was like a really like high quality game in terms of like tactics and the two teams, the way they set up and went at each other. It was almost Premier League standard, I would say, in terms of that respect. And it was the best quality game I can recall since we've been promoted to the Championship. We win the game, everyone's thinking, great. You know, now we bring in whoever we want to bring in as manager. And then it's like the Newcastle ticket stuff, then the manager stuff leaked, and it's like the mood has just completely turned upside down. It's out of complete, and not only have we undone, it feels like any good work that we've done over the last 2 years, it feels like a lot of goodwill and faith from a vast majority of the support has gone in the bin because of some of these decisions. And in a way, I think it's a positive thing because it shines a light on the reality. You know, you can't mask this anymore. It's like, it's the fact of the matter. Some people have been saying for ages, this is the approach. Mick hasn't said a word yet, so I mean,
Are we just alone in this generally? Because I've not seen a mass. I honestly thought like there'd be fan groups and media coming really attacking the small angles, and I've not seen it. And that's not me trying to have a go at anybody. Maybe I've missed it. I'm just conscious that like I just always wonder. I just always like worry that people think we're trying to speak on behalf of everybody.
no,
But like
I'm not,
look, I mean,
so.
I've not spoke so far because Gareth was speaking so well and articulately and was basically putting across everything I kind of want to say on the issue. But no, I think the point which is really worth reiterating, though, is that it is a massive slap in the face because I think it, and obviously we'll come to the manager situation in a bit, but the last 18 months, whatever circumstances been born out of, has been one of the most enjoyable periods of going to the match for about 15 years, probably since the Roy Keane days, to be honest, in terms of. We've seen our team win a lot of games. The home form's getting better this season. We had the run at the playoffs last year. The football we've been playing, the pitch has been excellent. The crowds we've been getting in the second tier is unprecedented compared to what we've ever really attracted in our recent history. And it just feels as though this has just been a massive kind of like punch to the gut and almost saying it's like you pointed out as well, saying that if you've been inconvenienced by the North Stand move, you've got the scramble about for the scraps that's available on Wednesday, that these people should have been the priority if they are going to be moved, which we shouldn't have been in the first place, by the way. And like you say, it does just show like a complete look of contempt, I think, for the support base. I've seen people argue that, oh, well, we all know that our cup seats aren't guaranteed for, sorry, our league seats aren't guaranteed for cup games. But equally, when have we ever given Newcastle an allocation on this scale? It's just not practical for safety reasons. It's like you say, Gareth, it's not going to be an enjoyable experience for a lot of people because I think as well, where we've put them in the North Stand, I think you've got a lot of family and kids around them. So, are you going to want to have your kids and family right next to a Newcastle? Then probably not. I'm not saying I'd have agreed if I put them in the South Stand, but then equally, you've got lads like the Southwest Corner and like kind of people like yourself who sit in the South Stand. Like, I wouldn't necessarily mind being next to them, but you obviously got some kids and families who it won't necessarily be the most enjoyable experience for them if they've got to be kind of like directly next to the away end. So I just think for so many reasons, it is a complete slap in the face to a lot of the goodwill that's been shown towards the ownership. And I just think this past, it's mad to think, sorry, but like 7 days ago, like 6 days ago, even after we beat Leeds, like we were all on the up, we're all really excited to see who our next manager was going to be. Things felt really good around the place. And now I think the atmosphere just seems to have nosedived and it's just not good for anybody.
I think you can't get any response from the club anywhere over ticketing and stuff. But you know, my dad's in the north stand and he's in a wheelchair. So I love to know, and he's being told he's guaranteed a seat. But you know, he's got people need to be sitting near him in close vicinity. So I don't know how much. I'd love to see how all those displaced people are going to be managed. But maybe that's the thought of that. Maybe that's, you know, maybe I'm giving them too much credit or not enough credit.
I've sat in the southeast corner plenty of times when they had the allocation behind the south stand goal. I've been every derby at the stadium tonight. You know, it seems mad to me that I'm not going to go to this game. But, like, you know, when you sit and you kind of think, I'll toss a coin and see what comes, see which call heads or tails, and one's for one and one's for the other, and, like, you don't look at it and you kind of go, I hope it's this side of the coin, because that'll tell you, like, your gut feeling about what you want to do. And if I did that, it would be, I don't want to go. I just think everything altogether is just, and there's probably some people listening going, oh, it's pathetic or whatever. It's fine. So you think that you go along and enjoy the game as best you can and do what you want. But from my perspective, the whole thing, I just think it's when it's a derby, no matter the difference between quality between the teams, you know, we the worst team in history played Newcastle twice. You know, like 15-pointers, 19-pointers. I played Newcastle twice. You know, there's been 96, 97 when we played them twice and we got relegated. And, you know, we're a team of, and they were like, you know, had Ginola and Beardsley and Shearer, people like that. And we had, you know, David Kelly and Paul Stewart and players like that, you know. There's always been games where the quality between the two sides has been vast. But in that instance, you kind of go, well, yeah, there's a gap in quality between the teams, but it's a derby and you're like you're saying, Stephen, you go and you make it uncomfortable and all that. And I just feel as though we've, like you say, we've rolled out the red carpet at the worst, like in the worst period in terms of the disparity between the two sides. We've like beckoned them in. We've carried them in on our shoulders. It's pathetic. It just disgusts me. As I said, when it was the fixture came out, I'd be giving them absolutely zilch. I'd give them nothing. And 10 years ago, we were involved in a campaign to make sure that Newcastle fans could actually get to the game outside of the bubble. And 10 years on, you know, as the way I feel about everything, the way it's gone the last few years and the way football is and what's happened with Newcastle, I just think, you know, they're not even a football team anymore. So anyway, so why would I care about their supporters being able to go to the game or not? I don't really. So, you know, there's been no real reflection on the situation where at their club where they've ended up where they are because of what's happened. After them being so upset about all of the horrible things that Mike Ashley did, which was a massive problem. And it's nothing to do with Mike Ashley, and it's nothing to do with anything. It's about winning and losing and money. So that's fine if you just admit that. But just because you're not getting exactly what you want, don't start crying and throwing all these moralistic arguments in. I just think really like the disparity in, you know, on and off the pitch for me in terms of how I feel. I just think like we've enabled all these people to come to the game moved our own supporters, inconvenienced our own fans to accommodate them. I just think it's absolutely just sickens us. I just think it's minging. And I know it's pathetic because it's football, right? And there's like more important things. But I hate it.
We wouldn't be having this discussion if it was just as basic as saying it's just football, don't worry about it.
But I mean, it is at the bottom line, it is. But at the same time, some people might think, oh, I sound bitter or like pathetic or whatever. But just the way I feel, I just think it's minging. It just makes us sick. I'm not going to go and sit in my home that's been handed over to, well, the enemy, essentially. That's how it feels.
Yeah.
And that's how it feels, so I'm not going.
It's like, come in our house, we'll move the kids to the spare room, you can have
the
nice room, take all the Sunderland posters down off the wall and put your new posters up.
Do you want all the come in on Christmas Day and give all the kids presents to...
Don't worry, yeah. It's and the thing is, the well, like, do you no, think, is it Marcia that the owner supports?
I believe so, yeah.
Would their fans allow this? Would he do this if he was there? Imagine the Marcia Ultras, like, being on board with this. But if you don't, you know what, like, seriously, like, you should hold us in as high regard as that. And if you wouldn't make that decision there, then don't make it here. It's an absolute and utter fucking disgrace is what it is.
Right, well, I'm sure Steve Davison will be looking into it after the next restructured dialogue meeting.
I know. Anytime I get asked anything uncomfortable for the rest of my life now, I'm just going to say I'm looking into it, because that seems to be an acceptable response as well. All right.
Well, the minute, I'll tell you what, if Rawa can't do anything about what's happened, I know they've like reacted to a point and put a statement out saying we're going to garner fan opinion or whatever, that's fine. However, what they should be pushing for is the minutes of the meeting where this was decided, so we can find out whose decision it was in black and white. Because if it comes out and it's, well, oh, actually, the club resisted, but we were told we had to for these reasons, then fine. But like, I can't imagine that's going to be the case.
No, totally. I think Red and White Army, I've asked for that, I think. Asked if the minutes were available. So, like I say, Stephen Davison will look into that and just hope that everybody forgets about it. Right, okay, we'll have a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the other the other drama that's currently unfolding.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome back to the Wise Men Say podcast. Right, so loads of other stuff going on. As Gareth was saying there, a lot can happen in a few days. Managerial change or head coach change at the stadium. Just distracted there. So anybody seen the under-23 team for night?
No, I'm just looking at it now. It's quite amazing.
So I'll read this out. I mean, put this... probably finished by the time lots of people or most people listen to this, but if you want to read out the team just so people can see what the team is.
Yeah, it's Bishop, Pembele, Triantis, Sealed, Taylor, who's the captain, Dak, Aushish, Mayenda, Burstall, Russin and Hamia. And the bench, Elise, Matete are on the bench with Rigg and Compton. So it's essentially a Carabao Cup team that we're putting out in this game. Who were playing? Yeah.
I don't know. I was trying to find that. It just says tonight starting 11, but I can't see it.
Are they away at home?
That's warm.
Yeah, it's Appleton.
Well,
wonder if that's the call from the incumbent head coach, Michael Bale, because it could be. He could have just said, I want to see, because I'm guessing he was at the game on Saturday, and maybe he said, right, I want to see all of these fringe players in game action, which is not a bad thing, to be fair. That would be a good shout. Right, so I mean, let's have a look. We did a couple of polls on this, didn't we? Does somebody want to get Eleanor did one over on Instagram, and I will
You
check
do
up.
that because
I
I
will.
can't see it. So it's
Okay.
quite in something, isn't it? When we get a new manager and we haven't even led with it.
Yeah,
I mean,
I know.
that tells you how mad the week is. And some people might listen and go, "Well, you should be leading with the manager." But I think it's like one of them, isn't it? When like, because it was kind of softly announced, essentially on Thursday, Friday, was it? Everyone's kind of already made peace. Well, not made peace, but everyone's already
Digested it.
digested it,
Yeah.
and it was kind of an inevitability that it was going to happen. So.
Well, we put a poll out, just reaction to the Beale appointment, and three options were aye, nah, or whatever. I mean, I only put that up like an hour and a half ago. 809 votes is quite a lot in an hour and a half. Normally, if you run, we could run these things and push it over the course of 24 hours. We might get what, like 1100. So the fact it's on 800 odd already. So I was 10%. And then it's quite an even split between nah and whatever. Nah is 46%, whatever 44%. Don't know what's worse, the just the solid no,
The apathy.
or what I mean, whatever is just apathy, isn't it? It's like I don't care anymore. And this is a link to what you were saying, though, Gareth. That like I refuse to believe you. This is a knock-on effect from the Derby thing. I'm sure it is. It's like almost like people are so annoyed about that. And feel so let down by that, they're almost saying, you know what, don't care. And do you know what it is with me? It's like, it's not even, I tell you, it's not even necessarily the fact it's who it is. It's back to what we're constantly told and the stories that were fed in that a very popular manager has lost his job when we're sixth in the table. After finishing the playoffs last season, okay, so that suggests that's not good enough, and you've got this plan that you keep telling us that you've got, and that you're going to search high and low and high and low again, and you've got a data-driven method behind it where you're going to go and find this upcoming manager, and I think people were reluctantly agreeing with the decision and getting behind that, and then people like Will still get linked in the media. And you think, oh, actually, you know, they are showing a bit of ambition. But actually, when you just strip all that back again, what evidence have we seen at all that anything is being done that doesn't result in, that isn't driven by saving as much money as possible?
Yeah.
Because yet again, it's a manager. And like, you know, he could be great. He could come in, and I hope he is. But again, it's like, it's not the ambition that they are leading us to believe that they have. It's he's out of work, he'll do. What's the data?
No,
He's the best one available, is what it's coming across like, because it's the fourth or fifth manager in a row now. None of these are young upcoming managers in, I mean, he is quite young, but they are all managers out of work who've been sacked in the previous job because they've taken that club as far as they can, or they've underachieved and they're on the way down. None of these managers have been on the way up.
yeah. No, I totally agree. And like, it just can't be like a data thing, because like data is only useful when you use it in context and analyze it properly. So Michael Beale, right? Okay, he's got a very high win percentage at Rangers. Completely irrelevant, by the way, because like I keep trotting out on Twitter, David Moyes has a higher win percentage at Manchester United than Matt Busby. So that's an absolute irrelevance. You know, look at the trophies he won, because the expectation at Rangers is to try and win every single competition that they're part of. But not
It's really
only that.
embarrassing, by the way. Sorry, Mick, that they're putting their statement welcoming to the club that he took them to a cup final. Oh my God.
Oh yeah, mate, completely. Yeah,
Nah.
you bang on. Yeah, well, I did cringe a lot at that, and then the fact they put the win percentage in. But the thing is, though, all these metrics are going to be high, because Rangers, like every other week, we're playing St Johnstone, St Mirren, you know, like Livingston. So they're going to have a very high XG. They're going to have very high possession. In all of these metrics, they're going to look fantastic. But like I say, it's all contextualized. And I think it's strange as well, because I do understand, right? I mean, we all want Sunderland to win every game we play, right? So I understand people's wanting to be enthusiastic and wanting to give Michael Bayley a chance. And I'm not saying I'm not going to at all, but I'm just looking at the evidence. And people probably who were the most vocal critics of Alex Neil for leaving Sunderland in the way that he did are welcoming Bayley with open arms after what he did at QPR, where literally Rangers ex-manager Van Bronckhorst is still in the job and he's in the pub next to the ground after going to watch Rangers play Aberdeen and telling everybody what he'd do differently. And I just think, like, football is a very kind of close-knit thing, and when there's so many stories, like, yes, for Balance there's been a couple of stories about him being, like, a good coach and that, but equally I've seen so many people just saying that he's a very kind of, like, insincere, shallow man who is very, very ego-driven and he can kind of, like, wow anybody in an interview, this, that and the other. So, to me, just none of this bodes well. It's like you say, Stephen, we had a very likeable manager in Mowbray, not just for his managerial record, but also just because he was a good person, he was a great ambassador for the club. And I think when you go from one extreme to the other, it is really, really difficult to get behind from the outset because there's very few redeeming qualities because the goalposts have changed now. When we appointed Tony Mowbray, yes, I understand not everybody was 100% behind the appointment, but I think we all acknowledge that Mowbray has a body of work which shows you that he will stabilise a club in mid-table in the Championship, if not higher, and get the finish in the top half, which is exactly what we were looking for when we made that change. We were looking to consolidate. Now, like you say, we are now in a position where promotion should be the ambition because historically we've either been the top end of the second tier or we've been in the first tier. So what I'm saying is that the ambitions have changed, the goalposts have changed, the fans now expect more because we were in the playoffs last season, so quite rightly we want to kick on. Then the board have also turned around and talked about when they sat Mowbray, he's done a great job, but we have a high performance culture at the club now. We want to appoint a young, hungry, up-and-coming manager. And as I say, at Rangers as well, apparently, his style of football is nothing to write home about. It's very direct. So there's just nothing in any, if anything about Michael Bayle which says that's an appointment that the structure we have in place should be looking at. And it's just quite worrying and concerning. And as I say, I really hope that I'm wrong and I hope I'm laughing in a few weeks' time when we're in the playoffs in the league and we've beaten Newcastle. But as I say, I think fans have an instinct for these type of appointments and I just really worry that it could turn nasty if he doesn't get off to a great start.
High performance culture, this whole thing. I mean, I guess talk about our work. We define what that is at work. So when we talk about high-performance culture, we have to sit in a room and go, what does that look like? So it doesn't mean anything. It's like completely subjective. Like anyone's high-performance culture can be a different high-performance culture. So it doesn't really mean anything. It's just wibble. I mean, my feeling is he's probably gone in an interview, said lots of LinkedIn things, and they've gone, oh, this guy is great.
Literally speaking my language in the case.
Yeah. And they're going, get on with this guy. And this will be good. He sounds like me. Let's pinpoint him. If this whole data-driven model, if he didn't come out in the top 10 in their model of data of available sack to managers when we started looking for a manager 2 weeks ago or whatever it was, then why would you go to him? Do you only ever see it go outside of the model
to appoint
the manager?
Yeah, because he'd probably come number one in out-of-work managers.
I would. At least he's got two promotions under his belt. Well, three. He has. Like, what's this guy? How many games has this guy managed? 70 games or something.
Started with a QPR and then started to slip.
How many games did he manage at QPR? 20 games. And then he was looking for another job. I think he was looking for another job before then.
I think...
I just think it... Also, being assistant manager at Steven Gerrard probably helps, doesn't it? Because you work with Steven Gerrard. So it probably does have an impact on the way people think about
you. I think for balance, because some listeners will be saying this, some people who are a bit more pro to this appointment would point out that
I haven't seen anybody.
A lot of the players who played under Gerrard at Rangers and Villa did credit Bayle with the work, and he was, by things I've read, apparently a main driver, and I think that's why it went wrong for Gerrard a bit when that relationship ended. I just want to read out Eleanor's result
from Instagram.
She did it. Can I just
come
back?
Sorry.
I just the one that, yes, they stopped Celtic from breaking the record, didn't they? And won the league, and then he came a Villa. To be fair, he was an improvement at Villa from where Dean Smith was, and he got them from relegation candidates to sort of mid to upper table, didn't he? But then kind of went stale a little bit. Similar results on Instagram, by the way. Nat was 47%, and whatever was 50%, 3%. A couple of people. I think this is a couple of comments that people made on Instagram, and kind of it's a good reflection on where the fan base is from both sides. So one person just mirroring what you've just said there, Mick and Gareth. I'd love to know how data and analytics have pointed to Bale. But then the other person, and we've heard this as well. I wasn't excited about Alex Neil improved wrong. I wasn't excited about Tony Mowbray improved wrong. I get that. Like, this is why I'm saying it's not even 100% behind who it is. This is not. Do you know what I mean? This is not like the people are missing the point here with this. It's like not kicking off and throwing your toys out the pram specifically who it is. Although there are quite, I've got massive question marks over it, particularly in the way the Rangers fans have responded about how he was about with the players there and stuff like that. It's more. It's the process in which they've come to this decision, which is where people will think. Because
It
we're
just
being
looks.
told one thing. We're being told one thing. Look, everything has been run on a shoestring, but how could people not see that? Like, strip it, every single thing back. And, like, I think that people are starting to realise it a bit more now.
Good. Well, good. You know,
Aren't they gonna stop flying the players down south now?
I don't know. Look.
Maybe I've
You
heard
read a
that.
lot of the, and again, I'm not like having a go as fans, and we all, you know, when it gets to half two on a Saturday or whatever it is, 5 o'clock on a Saturday, 12 o'clock on a Saturday, whatever time, half an hour before kickoff, whenever you kick off, you all think you can beat whoever you're playing, and you go to the game and you've got that hope, and you've got that you're going to go and win. It doesn't matter who's in the dugout. Doesn't matter who's in the shirt. You're like, you know what, we could do it today. And you know, a lot of the comments around, you know, well, he's appointed now, so everyone, let's just get behind him. Now, I don't know. Firstly, I hate that because I don't understand. Like everyone, generally at the stadium alike, will get behind anyone. Like it's not like people need to be told, but this is the problem. Whoever it is. In any position in the club, always gets this like un. It's like not undeserved. That's the wrong. Unconditional goodwill. Because it's Sunderland, and we look after each other. We welcome people in. We give people a chance. And it feels like it's known that goodwill is unconditional. And it takes a long time to break that goodwill. Look, and anyone wants to disagree with me, that's absolutely fine. But look at what happened with Donald and Methven. How much goodwill they had while they were busy pulling the rug under from out under the feet of everybody, and anyone who challenged it was basically shouted down, shot down. And this is the problem you get in this cycle of no matter what it is at any level, it's like, oh, well, we've got to give him a chance. Now, I don't disagree with that to a point, but you've still got, you can't just blindly go, well, you know, whatever it is that I'm being served up, this lukewarm gruel that I'm being served up, I've got to give it a chance. Got to eat this for 3 meals a day, every day, and get used to the taste of it. Because eventually I might like it. Unfortunately, it tastes like shit. So people stop eating lukewarm gruel and start eating something else instead. And they start looking at other people's tables and see the nice food at the other tables, think, well, it'd be quite nice if we could have that. You know, and I just think, like, at what point does the penny drop where it's like, stop just accepting everything you're given is what you deserve. Ask a question. It's fine. because you know we're talked to like they've got this grand intelligent plan, yet the outcome does not reflect that. And if you know, people say, well, they're appointing this person, they're appointing this manager, they're appointing that manager. They got luck. Nobody will ever convince me otherwise that they didn't get lucky with Alex Neil. They didn't go out and look for him. It took 2.5 weeks for him to offer himself up, and then they gave him the job. Tony Mowbray was Stuart Harvey's mate. He was out of work. They gave him the job. This fella, out of work, had been available, and apparently he wasn't anywhere near top of the list, and now all of a sudden he's got the job. It just... join the dots. It just does my head in. I just think, like, everyone's so desperate for us to do well, then we get taken advantage of so readily by these people who run the club, no matter who they are. They couldn't care less about us, like, as fans. I mean, they've shown that this week, and I just think it's just, I'm a bit sick of it, really. I'm just kind of like, I've had this like thing with, like, say, as I said last year, I've had this thing with the model for ages, where it's like, oh, what's the point in this? It's like, if the goal isn't to at least give us the best opportunity to win it and get promoted, then what's the point? Might as well go and watch something else.
When I've been thinking about this more again, like reflecting on the sacking of just of Mowbray more again, I was thinking like, and it's based on something, and I wish, this is after me reflecting for a while, and I wish I just sort of had this realization when Phil was talking about, when he was on the pod last week, to be honest, about how it's not just solely down to results and performance, and it's that relationship sold and stuff like that. And I'm thinking, like, the primary objective is to put the best team out and get promoted. And I know that short-term success can be sacrificed to an extent where you bring in younger players and you need to be... I get that, okay? But is it okay to sack a manager because you're not quite seeing eye to eye? Like, is that all right? When did that become all right? Like, that wouldn't happen that wouldn't happen in any other walk of life. Somebody's got you sixth in the table, they got you in the playoffs last year. It should only be a performance related decision.
No, I completely agree. But then it comes back to, if we were this convinced about Mowbray in the summer, why didn't they act then? When they said they were going to, and all the rumours came out, why didn't they have the courage of a conviction to act then? It's almost as if we've gone to this season and they've gone like, look, any kind of excuse we can get, Mowbray's gone, and we're going to bring our own man in. And it's just not worked. And now we've just like made like a run for our own back.
Look, he could come in and like start winning some games and do
things. I hope
good
he does. Yeah, that's another thing, isn't it? Like, this is not. If you feel like you're just saying stuff and we want something to fail, you need to grow up seriously. But I think even on this occasion, I mean, can you ever remember this response to a managerial appointment?
No. And There's the last time Wilkinson and Cottrell's the last time I've seen a more negative response to a managerial appointment.
I'd probably say Parkinson.
Well, I would say Parkinson and Grayson were both baffling appointments. Di Canio in a different way. But I would say in terms of negative response, imagine social media in 2002-03 or whatever when we appointed Wilkinson and Cottrell. I would equate it in terms of mood to that appointment.
I was just after that appointment was made, I was in Slovakia watching England, and that's the first thing fans of other clubs said to us when they started speaking to us. That's how mind blown that appointment was at the time. That people, random fans of other clubs, would be like, "Why have you just given Howard Wilkinson the job?" I remember like everybody saying that to us at the time.
And what was the answer?
I haven't got a clue. I haven't got a clue, mate.
maybe Michael Beale was asked to be a consultant in the process of appointing Sunderland's new manager and pitched himself for the job. For those who may not remember, or young to remember, that's what happened with Howard Wilkinson.
Yeah.
He was employed as a consultant to find a new manager for Sunderland and said the best person for the job is actually me.
Oh God!
And he went, "Oh, actually, yeah, you're right."
Yeah, I know. I think, again, I'm just trying to offer like balance, because there will be people who'll be like listening to this now saying, "Come on, like, And I've read some of the things anyway to say, look, the things he failed at mainly at Rangers were maybe that, you know, transfers is the big lingering one. And I mean, we all clearly know he's not going to be in charge of transfers here. That's an understatement. And that actually is a really good coach. And what I mentioned to you there, Gareth, he did have a good, he's got his coaching CV is good. You can't say it isn't. If somebody put up that on a bit of paper in front of you and you didn't know who it was, you would say that's okay. It's the step up from that apparently being like getting all the credit for Gerrard's work and being an excellent coach, excellent number two. It's been the step up to make the key decisions that a head coach or manager would make where he's gone wrong, apparently. So how he's handled players, how he speaks in the media, transfers. So at least one of those things you won't have here. So I'm just trying to like think of a, you know, maybe he will come in and maybe this is the right fit for him because his level of responsibility he has here will get the best out of him, maybe.
Again, they've stumbled on him, haven't they?
Well, yeah.
They haven't gone,
yeah.
He's the man. They've stumbled on him.
Yeah, this is it. It's a process that's arrived at Michael Beale, I think, was critiquing a lot more than like Michael Beale in and of himself.
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, Stephen,
it's how we've got here. That's what I'm annoyed about. It's not even about him personally. Like, it's genuinely not for me. It's not specifically what I'm annoyed about. Although I do have doubts, that's not it. It's the decisions and the process to how we've got to this point.
It goes back. You know, a lot of the things we've talked about in the past, where like you've got somebody telling you that actually. We do have strikers in the squad because Dzyanka is a striker, or Clarkson plays number 9 because he did for Leeds under 16s or something like that. Do you know what I mean? It's like, actually, we have loads of strikers. And you just go and like, you don't believe that. I'm not stupid. And you're trying to pull the wool over my eyes. And it's disrespectful. It's an insult to our intelligence as football fans. And that's what bothers me. It's like the idea that we're being told it's this grand plan all the time, and it just simply is not the case. It isn't. They might get some things right, but it does make you feel like it's by accident in a way. You know, it's not like there's like. I said this before, a lot of the foreign players who've come in, not a single one has really made an impact, have they? From abroad. Bale's probably the closest. Aushish maybe second. You know, Bennett.
Michu eventually last season.
Michu was okay, but we deemed him surplus to requirements. We didn't do the deal to bring him in full time in an area in which
February
we've got no.
He...
Yeah, in an area where we've got no. Nobody apart from Ekwa and Neil. And we deemed that we wasn't suitable for the side, so that's fine if that's what they think. But I just think it's a bit like it just to me, it's like I don't like that feeling of, you know, it's a bit gaslighty, isn't it? Somebody telling you, like, you know, just to disbelieve everything that you see, because it's actually better and that's actually good. And you just don't understand it properly. You got to do more, in my opinion. Set your stall out. If this is what it is, this is what we're doing, that's fine. But don't say you've got a 5-year plan for promotion. If they truly believe that Michael Beale was the man to get them promoted, as soon as he was available... They'd be like, right, how do we get this guy in?
Yeah, and they're never going to come out and say, right, we're skint, or not even we're skint, they can't be skint, but we aren't prepared to put X amount of money in the club because of this, because of that, it's a business plan, blah, blah, blah. Of course, they're not going to come out and say all that. But if they just come out and stop the suggestion that this was all their plan and fits in exactly, you know, they are the puppet masters and this is all going according to exactly how they thought it was. That's what annoys me, because it's not. I would almost wish that they just implied that, you know what, at the moment, we aren't really in a financial position to go and buy out managers from their existing clubs. That's not where we are. That's not the stage of the journey we are at. And that is clearly true. And it's the doubling down on it that really annoys me. The same as when we didn't buy a striker last January, and it was all, well, actually, we don't play with strikers, so this was our plan all along. That's what pisses me off. That's what I've got an issue with. That's the stuff. It's like, don't treat us like idiots, but then you see it, some people just lap at them anyway. So
it's the monorail, isn't it? It's the Shelbyville monorail. It's the Springfield monorail. That's what it is. And we've been here before with other people. It's just maybe these people's suits are shinier. No. And some of the suits are the same. You know, Sartori's still there. He was part of that Madrox group. So I just think this week we've seen, to me, that look, people, they got away with a huge own goal due to the goodwill of Sunderland supporters, in that they basically, it was proven that they lied for 18 months about, or a year, about the setup of the ownership of the football club. And he got away with it because he sent a letter to people, basically, and said, oh, well, it's like, oh, well, he sent a letter and saying thanks for your support and everything. Well, they printed some out and put them in some envelopes and sent them out. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry. It's so easy to get people on side, and they know. And the supporters of the football club have been taken for granted by the people in charge for such a long time. It's just, I'm a bit sick of it, really. I just think, regardless of the results on the pitch, it helps when you're winning. When it's not going well, it's the cracks start to show. But, you know, you don't have to believe in absolutely everything that they do, and you can still want us to win.
Yeah,
and that's where I am. But yeah, I feel as though
nobody wants us to win more than me, and I really hope that Michael Beale's clear potential and talent, and he's clearly got talent, and I really hope that every combination, like everything, fits into place here for him, and it works. Like, nobody wants that more than me. Like, believe me. Mick has held the world record for the longest staring without winning a competition. Yeah. he was just staring without blinking, so he's obviously frozen and lost connection. And now he's gone altogether, so it's a good place to end it. I don't know if we'll be back for a preview later. I think we're gonna do a Christmas sort of quiz thing Christmas quiz, if we can get people together for it. So we might just do that later in the week, and then push that for a few days. So that'd be something nice to do. But we will be back. I'm guessing we're going to do a reaction on Saturday. We're all going to be together, aren't we?
We are.
For a change.
The Christmas party.
Yeah. It's not. We don't always all go to the matches together. So we might do something then, I guess.
Shall we do that thing where you go to Wetherspoons and go, we're on table, whatever.
Could do. I've never done that in my life.
Nah,
so
neither have I. Cause I'm not.
Give it, yeah.
Yeah, mix con.
Right. Okay. Right. Good. Well.
I feel good after that. I feel better than I did before, even though I feel like actually minging.
By tomorrow, you'll be getting yourself a ticket.
No, it's done.
Right.
It's done. I've spoken to my dad. He kind of feels the same way, so we're not bothering.
Right.
I just watched on the telly.
Well,
they're fighting through the think about how many police were there for the Middlesbrough game this year.
It didn't need to be, though.
It's going to be like Basra for this game. Mm.
Right. Okay. Let's leave it there. Always interesting. Being a Sunderland fan.
What could happen next in the next week?
God knows.
You know, we could win at the weekend. Going to Christmas, everyone's going, oh, well, you know.
Yeah, and results mask over a lot of stuff, which is fine. And nobody would be happy with us if we can come and talk about Sunderland winning on a regular basis, because we honestly do enjoy doing that. Okay, as always, thanks for listening.